The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. It's 10 minutes after 8. Diner 62 Real American Quiz, and we're talking about the California Bear Flag Revolt. Let me get Joel on from Medco. By the pond, right? Anyway, Joel, good to have you on. How are you doing this morning, huh?
Well, we're just great. We're doing great.
All right, you're doing by the mud puddle. Well, anticipating the outbreak of war with Mexico, Joel, American settlers, rebel against the Mexican government, and they proclaim the short-lived California Republic during the Bear Flag Revolt of 1846. Now, although it was kind of controlled by Mexico, California was home to only a relatively small number of Mexican settlers. And when rumors of this war coming up between the U.S. and Mexico got to California, the American settlers feared that the Mexicans might make a preemptive attack to stop rebellion, you know, kind of forestall it. So here's the story, Joel. In the spring of 1846, Army officer John Fremont arrives at Sutter's Fort near modern-day Sacramento with a small corps of soldiers. Now, whether or not Fremont had been specifically ordered to encourage an American rebellion, they're not sure, all right? However, emboldened by Fremont's encouragement, there were a party of 33 American militia, and they were under the leadership of Ezekiel Merritt and William Ide. And they invaded the largely defenseless Mexican outpost of Sonoma, just north of San Francisco. So Fremont and his soldiers didn't take part in this, although he had given his tacit approval to attack, okay? You following me, Joel, so far?
I've been to the site.
Okay, good. Now, Merritt and his men surrounded the home of the retired Mexican general, Mariano Vallejo, and they informed him that he was a prisoner of war. So they're telling Vallejo, hey, you're a prisoner of war, buddy. How did Vallejo react? A, he immediately surrendered. B, he denounced Mexico and joined the rebellion. C, he invited them in for drinks. D, he claimed he was someone else. Or was it E, he held off the Americans with an impressive arsenal until help arrived? Now, remember, they're coming in there and saying, you're a prisoner of war. What do you think he did after that?
The last one.
He held off the Americans with an impressive arsenal. Not today. Not that day. But thank you for trying. I know it's a big explanation going into it, but Rich is in Eagle Point. Hey, Rich, how you doing this morning?
Hi.
So, Rich, Mariano Vallejo, the Mexican general there, they tell him that you're a prisoner. Did he immediately surrender? Did he denounce Mexico and join the rebellion? Did he invite him in for drinks, or did he claim he was someone else? What do you think?
I think he invited him in for drinks.
He invited him in for drinks. No, you're actually right.
You're a winner!
I hit the wrong button. See, Rich, I was predetermining that you were going to give a wrong answer. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he invited them in for drinks. It's true. And the funny thing is that Vallejo was actually a strong supporter of American annexation. And he was more puzzled than alarmed by these rebels that are saying, hey, you're a prisoner. He's like, okay. So he invites Merritt and a few of the other men into his house to discuss the situation over a nice brandy. And after a bunch of hours passed, Ide went in and spoiled what had turned into a pleasant chat by arresting Vallejo and his family. So having won the bloodless victory at Sonoma, Merritt and Ide then proceeded to declare California an independent republic. With a cotton sheet and some red paint, they built a makeshift flag, a crude drawing of a grizzly bear, the Red Star, a reference to the Lone Star Republic of Texas, and the words California Republic at the bottom. It's a great story, though. Great story.
And, yes, it is.
And after the rebels won a few minor skirmishes with Mexican forces, Fremont officially took command of the Bear Flaggers. And 3 weeks later, Fremont learned that American forces had taken Monterey without a fight. And they officially raised the American flag over California. And after that, the California Republic fades away. But ironically, the Bear Flag itself proved far more enduring. It became the official state flag when California joined the Union in 1850. So that's how we got the Bear Flag. That's the whole story of that. Great story. And Rich, you're headed, from Eagle Point, you just go over to White City, just south of White City, you're going to Diner 62. You hang on and we'll have a great time. We'll do some more of these Real American Quizzes Wednesday when I get back from a little bit of vacation next week, okay? Diner 62. All right, now then, Coming up, you hang on, by the way, Rich, I got to get your address. In just a minute, we're going to have a great conversation about stocks. It's going to be Matt and Bill. Remember Matt, the former stockbroker? So Matt and Bill are going to talk about stocks in the economy right now, but we're not stockbrokers. There's a couple of guys chewing the fat and the grease on that. I think that'll be great. It'll be after the Kim Komando digital update and a bunch more. All coming up on KMED and KBXG.
Coming June 22nd to the Jackson County Fairgrounds, Western Justice founder Dave Duquette, author of More Guns, Less Crime, John Lott, Gateway Pundit founder Joe Hoft, and your host Mike Lindell, and more. It's MAGA Next Level. It's MOGA, Make Oregon Great Again. Tickets and information at jcor.gop/MOGA. That's jcor.gop/MOGA. June 22nd for the Patriot event of the summer. We'll see you at MOGA.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority in post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
For over 20 years, Johnson Builders has constructed custom-designed, engineered buildings all over our area that not only meet but exceed modern post-frame standards, featuring stronger, laminated columns that are 100% treated, warrantied, and provide superior structural integrity. Every building is tailored to meet your specific needs and budget. Visit Johnson.Builders to view their past projects and start planning yours.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
Summertime is truck time in Southern Oregon, so I'm going to keep the $445 a month deal going on Ford F-150s. Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center. Tow the boat or camper for only $445 a month and a new Ford F-150. Go haying, hunting, or hauling for only $445 a month and a new Ford F-150. Whatever you do in your truck, make sure you do it in one from Butler Ford and Truck Center, where I'll show you how to lease a brand new Ford F-150 for only $445 a month. And let's talk about Ford certified pre-owned vehicles. We're the dealership that sells any make and model as Ford Blue certified. Ford backs up these pre-owned vehicles with a comprehensive warranty and roadside assistance. Butler says yes to easy financing to everyone. Butler says yes to $445 a month on a new F-150. And Butler says yes to certified pre-owned vehicles with warranty. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned hybrid and electric vehicle.
36-month lease payments and 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade to a sign, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dot fee on vehicle with cap cost of $42,884. Approved financing to Ford Credit. Offer expires 7/9/24.
As usual, this fall, Apple will move to another new iPhone operating system at no charge. But this year, some folks believe that the new iOS will help the marriage cheaters. I'm Kim Komando for Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. Accelerate your AI workload today. Take a free test drive at oracle.com/Kim. iOS 18 brings exciting new features to your iPhone, but the one that's getting almost as much attention as Apple's new AI is called the Hidden Folder. It's a new lockable folder for apps, texts, pics, reminders, email, and voicemail from specific people and numbers. Absolutely no one can get access to this treasure trove without your face to unlock it. In fact, the entire folder can be hidden and no one will know it's even there. Posters on X and social media say it's going to encourage cheaters. Apple says it offers peace of mind that private information cannot be seen by others. I say if your marriage is resting on what you can see on your significant other's phone, you already have major troubles. Get TechSmart the easy way with my free newsletter at getkim.com. AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/Kim. That's oracle.com/Kim, oracle.com/Kim.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED.
20 minutes after 8. Always appreciate you listening wherever you happen to be. And listener Matt, you'd be amazed at some of the conversations that Matt and I have off air. And Matt used to be a stockbroker. He's no longer a stockbroker, but you just watch the market, right? You've always been paid to notice things. Is that pretty much the case when you're an investor, Matt? Welcome back to the show. Matt, it would help if I turned up your control. Welcome back to the show. Let's start that again. How are you doing?
I'm good. Okay, so that would go with everything. Anybody who invests in anything, you get paid for noticing. And it's interesting because you and I talked about crude oil yesterday, and we were talking about this petrodollar deal that we had with Saudi Arabia that expired on June 9th. So just a couple of days ago. And I got curious about that. And so you look into things and you look at oil production, and as much as people who love green energy hate oil, I was looking at production charts. They've done nothing but go up. You had during the 80s, you had a dip and there was a real shakeup in the, oil corporations, oil producers. And then during COVID, of course, you had a break because everything stopped. But oil production continues to go higher and higher and higher because the demand is increasing.
In spite of all this talk about we're going to replace stuff that works with intermittent and chaotic renewable, right?
Yeah. So, and I was noticing, I mentioned this to you yesterday. So Chevron bought Hess. Exxon, this is just recently. Exxon is buying Pioneer Natural Resources. Occidental is buying Crown Rock Minerals. Diamondback Energy is buying Endeavor. And there was, I think it was, there was another big oil company that was interested in Endeavor. So things begin to line up. And I'm gonna digress here for a little bit. But before the financial crisis, there are a lot of things that happened in real estate that were the setup for the collapse. And that always happens. You mentioned the pet rock to me yesterday. Did AI feel like the pet rock?
Yeah. I was even thinking about like artificial intelligence, kind of like pets.com is what I was thinking of, almost like the dot-com bubble, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, right? Wasn't that when that happened?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So right before the dot-com bust, you had the SEC doing things like investigating whether we need the uptick rule anymore, which was basically an emergency break, a little tiny emergency break when stocks were getting killed. And this is something that passed when the SEC was created. And it was basically saying you can't short a stock unless the previous trade is, and it could just be an eighth or a penny or whatever above the previous trade. So they decided, well, let's go ahead and test this.
In other words, you can't pound a stock on the way down, is really.
You can't just keep selling it.
Okay, got it.
At lower prices. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit of a break. It worked to an extent. Now they just halt trading. So they decided to experiment with ETFs, and I think they used the NASDAQ, the S&P, and the Dow ETFs first. And then they said, well, we don't really seem to see a problem in here, so we're going to go ahead and roll that. Well, before the financial crisis, of course, we all know they got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, and that was separating commercial banking from investment banking because all of the lobbyists for the bankers said, how can we compete internationally? We're the only ones who aren't allowed to combine those two. Well, the Glass-Steagall Act was a great idea, and it was to separate them, and it was to protect you, Bill, and to protect me.
It was to protect regular folks with bank accounts from being hosed investment money, right?
Yeah. So it always seems like all of these things happen, and people don't notice until after. But because, I'm watching this stuff every day, I thought, this is a bad idea. Every time I saw something that was taking away guardrails for a more smooth-moving market, it just felt like it was a setup for something. Now, it could be that they weren't setting it up for a fall, because who would do that? It's not good for anybody politically, economically. But it just seems that we, you know, we make these mistakes. The more we take, and look, it's not that I'm pro-regulation on everything, mm-hmm. but let's face it, you got to keep an eye on people. I mean, I'm not a big regulation guy.
Yeah, well, but let's also be honest that we mere mortal humans are sinning individuals, right? Original sin, et cetera, and even if we have the best of intentions, we don't always do the right thing, right? Fair enough?
Right.
Okay.
So is there any doubt in your mind that Trump would have been approaching Saudi Arabia to continue this deal? Because the deal that we had for them selling their oil in U.S. dollars, which is basically, you know, buying bonds with the surpluses and all that U.S. bonds supporting our bond market, and then, you know, basically saying to everybody, if you want to do business with Saudi Arabia, which everybody did in regards to oil, you're going to be doing this in U.S. dollars.
And that was an amazing privilege for the United States. Amazing privilege.
Listen, it really was. I mean, this is it may be, you know, opposite of Nixon and all the stuff that he did, you know, creating the EPA and all these other things. This was probably one of the best agreements that the U.S. government ever made with another nation, was to say, look, let's boost the dollar. And they did it right after coming off the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
So it really stabilized things. I know that doesn't seem like it does when you look at the history, but it really did. And now that that deal has expired, there are certain things that you begin to ask yourself.
So I just want to be clear. There's no petrodollar anymore as of June 9th. It's over?
Well, the deal expired. So mm-hmm. it's expired. So what they can still do it. You don't need a deal for them to continue to do it. We don't need a deal for us to continue, because the other side of that was we promised to protect the kingdom.
Ah, okay.
So there's, you don't need an agreement for us to continue to provide our old jets to Saudi Arabia and other kinds of weaponry to protect themselves. But there are certain things that, you know, questions you ask. One is, it always seems that the left loves Iran. They love them, mm-hmm. right? They, you know, Obama, we have to normalize relations. He sent them how many billions of dollars. We lifted oil sanctions. You know, we do all these things. Every time there's a Democrat in charge of anything, they want to get in bed with Iran. Well, Saudi Arabia was on the verge of these new accords and normalizing relations, and including Egypt, I believe, with Israel. And so you're moving this way. So I think Trump would have said, hey, let's this is a good deal for both of us. And we'd like something. Look, it's not that we don't trust you, King,
mm-hmm.
but let's go ahead and keep this in ink. Let's go ahead and keep this thing going. I think he'd have been all over this. I haven't heard him comment about it. I haven't heard anybody comment about it.
Could this be, in a way, trying to set up President Trump for a fall in some ways, or a much more difficult meal? Because I'm already reading about how Democrats are making plans for a Trump victory, but they want to throw a lot of tacks and nails in the road ahead of the Trump train, okay?
Well, he comments about getting rid of all these employees working at the bureaucracies, and
yeah.
and of course, then they're trying to put things in place to make it harder to fire people. So, but I want to stay with the oil thing, because there are certain things, again, noticing things. You have these mergers, right? You have these big mergers, and why are they all? I'm going to actually send you a link for an article, and you can post it with your social media if you want. But
okay.
It's just an interesting take on the purpose of these oil deals. But you know, some of them are to increase production here in America. Some of them are to diversify. Oil companies want to diversify into other places. It just depends on whatever their needs were, and those are the deals they went after. So all of this stuff is happening at a time where they're saying, we have to get off of everything, right? With no mm-hmm. more, you know, fossil fuels. We got to get rid of fossil fuels. And then the biggest oil companies and the biggest producers are now, you know, creating these conglomerates. They're buying up these other competitors. And so we're moving towards what scares the hell out of me, is that single lever of power. When you have a few companies, corporations owning, you know, the lion's share of production, that makes me nervous. So this thing goes away, right? That this deal we have with Saudi Arabia, so that goes away. Iran now is, you know, has huge oil production. They're creating problems all around the globe, and there is kind of a shift here. And then on top of that, when you look to alternative energy, it's like, so our government is saying you can't drill, forget Anwar, that's done.
Right.
Forget drilling anywhere. That's done. Meanwhile, you have Venezuela, Brazil, and other countries, including Canada, you know, are upping their production. We are too, by the way, but they're increasing their production. And then we're going to the alternative. Well, where most of the materials to generate batteries and everything else are going to be coming from China, everything for solar, everything for wind, everything for EV.
At the same time that we're tensions are rising dramatically with the panda right now, right?
Right. And then you have this deal expiring without even a whisper about it.
Hmm.
And so
I haven't seen anybody covering that story. None. I haven't heard anything about that. You're the first person I heard this from, actually.
Yeah. So this, all of this stuff bothers me.
Does it remind you of a build up to war, though? A possibility, a build up to war.
Well, I don't trust Canada. I don't trust them anymore. I would love to believe. I think the only reason they hitch their wagon to us is because they're nervous that anybody else they hit. We've talked about this on air before. Anybody else they hitch their wagon to may not be there when the chips are down.
Uh-huh.
They know if they hook up with us. But just look at what they're doing in Canada. They are not doing, you know, I would say individual liberty type things. I spoke to a gal. This is going back.
Oh, yeah, they're going ultra-totalitarian by comparison. I mean, we've got our problems, but Canada's on steroids for sure.
Oh, it's incredible. I talked to a young woman who told me if she told a joke to five of her girlfriends, and maybe it was off color, whatever it happened to be, and there happened to be somebody 10 feet away who heard the joke, could actually file some kind of a criminal complaint because of hate speech laws in Canada. And I'm sorry. All of these things to me, these are the things that bother me. I don't like the, you know, central bank digital currency, the illegal immigration is a killer.
Yeah, but back to this, though. Maybe this whole idea of you get rid of the petrodollar and you let it expire quietly is that this is greasing the skids for central bank digital currency. Is that conspiratorial on my part or not?
You know what, Bill? I haven't decided where I fall on that. I actually, even though I don't use cryptocurrency at all.
Well, Trump's embracing it, by the way. Trump's now embracing that kind of stuff. Crypto.
Oh, with both arms.
Yeah.
With both arms. And look, part of this is because he wants to bring in all of that big money, right? He wants to bring in all the big money. He just had that fundraiser. He raised like $12 million in one night with a bunch of, you know, Silicon Valley people. So he's embracing it. And, you know, one of the things...
which kind of rings alarm bells for me a little bit, you know, when I look at what Silicon Valley has done to us, to we regular folks, just saying, you know?
I agree with you 100%. But here's what I'm saying. Sometimes you got, look, politics is awful and ugly and horrible. I mean, I've heard Herman talk about it endlessly for years. But sometimes you've got to cozy up to people you wouldn't normally cozy up to. And one of the big things, of course, with Silicon Valley are the cryptocurrencies, is artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. and other sorts of technology. And Trump is saying, look, let's go ahead and embrace this. I mean, I've been hearing and reading that Joe Biden wants to have a tax on crypto miners because they create so much usage of electricity.
Electricity, yeah. Big burden.
So he wants to tax them for that and say you're going to be paying more than everybody else pays because you use more. I would venture to say that you could probably come to these guys and say, look, we need you to invest in some of the infrastructure because, let's face it, our power grid, and I've heard tons of your callers talk about this for years and years and years. We'll just say, look, we're not going to tax you, but we want you to take a certain part of your profits. We want you to invest in the grid in your area. So if you're in upstate New York and you're using a lot of hydro, then we want you to begin to, you know, invest in local infrastructure for power and all that stuff. I say create kind of a partnership where it's not just you're penalizing them for something, because if we have a private cryptocurrency, it's going to get regulated, obviously. I would like that because maybe it's an alternative to central bank digital currency. I talked to an economist I really respected, and this is during COVID when all the checks were going out to everybody, right?
Yeah.
And he was saying, why shouldn't Americans be able to have a bank account with the Federal Reserve? And he responded back when I emailed him. I said, doesn't that completely eliminate privacy in banking? I mean, that's next to HIPAA. Like, I'm supposed to be able to, you know, my banking should be private, which, of course, it never was. But I'm thinking, who would bank directly with the Federal Reserve? And like, if you go to buy some Tic Tacs, they know.
Well, so, that's ultimately also about taxing, too, about the ability to tax everything once you have every single purchase through central bank digital currency. You know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I'll tell you this. Trump did something brilliant the other day when he proposed not taxing tips. I was a limo driver for a year and a half in my 20s, and I made all my money on tips. I was getting $5 an hour, which was like $2.50 lower than the minimum wage in California at the time. I made all my money on tips.
You know, here's the, and yet I understand it's a brilliant politically here. By the way, I'm talking with Matt. We're talking markets and politics here. It's all kind of combined into one glop right now. We have to be honest, you know, with you about this. The one problem I have with the not taxing of tips is that some clown like me, you know, who has everything officially paid via a wage, I get taxed on 100% of my money. And what?
Yeah.
We're supposed to say that, you know, some people working for tips, you're not supposed to, you're just working tax-free. You get to work tax-free. I don't know. That's a little irritating, isn't it?
You're right. There is a fairness issue because I was a waiter on wheels. I love the idea. My wife was a waitress for 10 years back in the day. So, I mean, in that regard, here, I could see people beginning to change. You know, like FedEx had 1099 contract workers who would drive their own vehicles. I think they still do.
Yeah, okay. I think I know what this is about, though. This is Donald Trump doing Joe Biden's college loan forgiveness on a different end, right? That's what he's doing. And he's winning he's starting to win with young voters now because of this, all right?
That's right. It's brilliant, you know, that you could do that. But you could see, one of the things that restaurant owners complained about was when tips became an issue for taxing, and then you had the minimum wages going up. It used to be, I know as a driver, my wife was a waitress back in the day, that they could pay us less because they know we might make two or three times our hourly rate in tips through hustle.
Easily.
So think what it does for the restaurant business, not McDonald's, because nobody tips there, even though I know, like,
they put a tip jar out in front of everything now. OK, yeah,
I know. So but if you think
I'm at Jackson County getting a permit, I'm sure there's a tip jar out there, too, for that matter. I know. Maybe not.
They follow you around.
Yeah.
But no, I think something like that. It like never occurred to me that to make a campaign promise like that. But I do think it's brilliant. And honestly, restaurant owners, small restaurant owners, you know, here in Grants Pass and in Medford and all the, think about it. They really could feel like, look, you know, if you're getting this stuff all tax free, maybe we make an arrangement with the workers. We say, hey, we'll give you this much, but you know, none of your tips are going to be taxed. So it probably helps small businesses in that regard. But getting back to the oil thing, so here's something maybe your listeners could just keep an eye on. And I have one more thing I want to throw out about Epcot Center.
Okay, well, why don't you hold that thought? Let me do a quick break. Okay. We'll be right back, and we'll wrap this up here. You know what? I want you to think about this during the break, all right? Since you notice, you have, as an investor, you're paid to notice things, all right? Trump's elected presidency. I should sell my oil stocks. Yay or nay, okay? I'll be right back with you in a minute, okay?
All right.
We'll talk about that coming up with Matt. It's Matt and Bill talking stocks, even though we're not brokers, okay?
If you're looking to be more efficient and functional on a job site, release the hounds. Two Dogs Fabricating is Southern Oregon's exclusive North Star flatbed dealer. And if they don't have the perfect flatbed, Two Dogs will build one made to your exact specifications. Plus, I've kicked the tires on a great selection of heavy-duty Delco trailers and North Star-made Iron Bull trailers in multiple lengths with dump and tilt options. Two Dogs has light-duty North Star trailers, too. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford, and at twodogsfab.com.
Artisan Bakery Cafe, your go-to for all things delicious. Now serving amazing summer specials. Try their turtle brownie, loaded with caramel and pecans, blueberry cream cheese coffee cake, chocolate hazelnut croissant, lavender cupcakes filled with Bavarian cream, and coconut cream beignets. So many fresh-baked goodies just waiting for you. Swing by Tuesday through Friday from 7 to 3 and Saturday from 8 to 3 at 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer. That's the Artisan Bakery Cafe.
It's a great time to travel, and Phoenix Auto Center invites you to stop by before you hit the road. Jolene here, reminding you that taking care of your vehicle to keep you driving safely is what we do. We install top brand name tires for exceptional performance and handling, and we provide full service auto and RV repair too. You can count on us for tune-ups, brakes, shocks, alignments, cooling systems, vehicle manufacturer maintenance, and more. Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros, serving Rogue Valley drivers since 1970.
News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. The Supreme Court has unanimously preserved access to a medication that was used in nearly two-thirds of all abortions in the U.S. last year. The justices ruled that pro-life groups lack the legal right to sue over the Federal Food and Drug Administration's approval of mifepristone. A summit of the group of seven leading industrialized nations has opened in Italy. Negotiators reached agreement hours before the official opening to back a $50 billion loan to Ukraine using frozen Russian assets as collateral. Russian officials say U.S. reporter Evan Gershkovich, jailed in Russia for over a year on espionage charges, will stand trial in a city in the Ural Mountains. On Wall Street, the Dow is off 221 points. The NASDAQ is ahead by 33. More details at srnews.com.
It's 8:41. You know, we haven't had our dad joke of the day to, wrap up here my week before I go on vacation, all right? Dad jokes, of course, are sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. But today's dad joke is, I don't know who submitted this one, but what do you call a fish wearing a bow tie? Sophisticated. Huh? Get it? You know, if you're not lying and groaning a little bit, it's not a good dad joke, all right? Go to twodogsfab.com and go ahead and submit your joke if you'd like to have me read it, and if you think you got a better one, though, okay? By the way, Two Dogs Fab is Southern Oregon's exclusive North Star dealer. And if they don't have the perfect flatbed, they will build a custom flatbed for you to your specific specifications. And you know this camping season everyone's talking about now? You need some hitch or tongues repaired? Boy, they can take care of that big time for RVs and trailers. They also build custom diamond plate battery boxes that some people prefer, okay? It is 8:42. Now then, coming up here in just a moment, it's going to be more on stocks. And should I sell my oil stocks? I'm just going to abuse Matt since he's here, okay?
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Here's Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service for just-in-time appliance.
Recently, a small part went out on our dryer at home. My husband ordered the inexpensive part to fix it. 3 months and several wrong parts later, he agreed to call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair. A couple days later, I had a working dryer. Just-in-Time Appliance have always taken great care of all of our appliances with honest service and fair prices. Don't wait. Just call Just-in-Time Appliance and Repair.
Just-in-Time Appliance. Online at justintimeappliance.com.
One of each Forte VIN 785766 MSRP 21645 Solvin 237299 MSRP 22140 3500 due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance and 63024.
Thinking about a new ride? It's time to trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford during the summer sticker sales event. Hurry in to get more cash for your trade-in. Then trade up and save on our huge Kia selection, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like Fortes or Souls. Just $139 a month. Trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
So, I've been thinking about how nimble and responsive Fontana Roofing is.
And?
Humor me. Close your eyes.
Okay.
Picture, if you will, an unassuming but charming home pending for sale. Suddenly, the tenuous boundary between buyer and seller is a paper-thin, worn membrane of composite material. Beyond lies a harmonious transaction in ruin. Ladies and gentlemen, you make a tenuous phone call and enter the wondrous dimension of customer satisfaction. Next stop, the re-roof zone.
The re-roof zone? Why don't we just say that Fontana Roofing, thanks to their long employee retention, have experienced teams of expert efficient roofers that are often able to react to our customers' unique situations and turn their jobs around fast without sacrificing quality.
Okay, but I kind of wanted to work in how we have the ability to bend the fabric of space and time.
Let's just let our customers assume that.
Fair enough.
If time is of the essence, visit MontanaRoofingServices.com.
Welcome back to the Bill Meyer Show, 106.3 KMET.
Hey, gold. That reminds me. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers. We've been talking about oil. We've been talking about all sorts of other things with Matt. If you're looking for gold and silver, or maybe to sell gold and silver right now. I'm kind of a fan long term of having some tucked away, but not within the gold-backed IRAs, like the big boys nationwide are talking about. And Jay Austin feels this way, too. Have it in your possession for whatever reason, that just-in-case money that you have, all right? JayAustinBrokers.com. Call them at 482-3715, 482-3715. You can get your appointment for the 6th and G store in downtown Grants Pass, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland. You could go in there today and talk with him. Very, very good people. Mark is such a smart cookie, and I love having Mark and Andrea. Actually, they're both smart cookies, by the way. I wasn't trying to short anything, all right? Andrea, his wife. These two are just, they know these markets when it comes to the physical metals. Upside, downside, sideways. Just go talk with them. They'll be friends, okay? They really will be. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers. JayAustinBrokers.com, GrantsPassCoins.com, and, of course, FortuneReserve.com. Now, my buddy Matt is back here. A former stockbroker, but he watches stocks, and this is like a passion. This is something you're always, you say that investors are paid to notice things, right? And
yeah.
So, Mark, Matt, you were noticing things and looking at all of these oil companies that are combining, or what do they call that? Consolidating.
Merging.
Yeah, merging, doing all these kind of things right now. And that looks like a setup. You have the petrodollar quietly going away, the specter of central bank digital currency there, maybe a private cryptocurrency. And who knows? You know, at this point, there's a lot of noise in the air right now. The one thing I think everyone's starting to bet on Trump winning, and Trump winning isn't necessarily good for oil stocks. Oil stocks looking good right now under the Biden regime because there's so much restriction and oil has been higher in price. Ultimately, wouldn't a Trump victory kill their stock? So they want to consolidate and merge right now while their stock looks good. Am I right or wrong? Or am I being dumb to notice this? Maybe wonder.
Well, I'll just say one thing about the merger deal. When oil prices are high, the mergers are more expensive.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, just like buy low, sell high, it's the same. So when you see, you know, large oil companies buying other good size, in some case with Pioneer Natural Resources, big producers, they are really making a bet for the future. They believe that, and also it benefits them to control production. The more land that you own, the more leases that you have, it allows you to control production and adjust to price changes. So there's a lot of things that go into that. But you asked me, would it be smart if Trump won to sell oil stocks? So what I did is I pulled up a chart going back to January of 1985. Okay, as I mentioned to you yesterday, you know, the oil companies went through a tough, they hit a rough patch in the 80s. And
oh, bad. I mean, Dallas was like, turn the lights out in Dallas, right? That kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was really bad there for a while. And so there were a lot of mergers at that time, at times where you would expect it, because back then the federal government was really against, you know, any kind of a merger when it came to oil, because they thought it would basically, you know, create a monopoly. That was the oil monopoly. You know, everybody still remembered Standard Oil, right?
Oh, yeah.
Standard Oil. Got to break it up. So, but they basically told them, they made the case, oil producers made the case, that if you don't let us merge, we will not have enough energy to be in business. You will have no oil.
In other words, big, you have to go big. That's just all there is to it. You got to be big.
Yeah. You have to let us, you know, come together and get rid of a lot of work and a lot of, you know, non-producing wells. I remember looking at stocks even back then And I was shocked. You would see an oil producer, and it'd be four guys. I'm imagining four guys sitting in a double wide with one oil dike, like just like one oil pump sitting in the middle of a field somewhere in Fillmore, California, and just waiting for oil prices to go up. In the meantime, they'd all take a meager salary and just hang out, and they would increase production when oil prices went up and cut production and employees when it went down. That's what I imagined. But there were times I'd look at stocks, and I'd look at it and see all the employees working there, and there were four guys. So what I did is I pulled up a chart of Chevron, because I think of all the oil companies, I think these guys, I think they do a good job. They're a well-run company. They're invested everywhere. And looking at the chart, there was a steady trend out of those low oil prices in the early to mid-80s where, you know, the stock had a steady trend for, you know, really years and years, almost, you know, a decade and a half. And it peaked in spring of 99, and it went sideways. Now, I'm not surprised, because I think because this is a stock, so it's something people buy and sell. I think there just wasn't a lot of love, because everybody was dumping their money, much like you have AI today. Everybody was dumping their money into technology and other kinds of things, and oil lost its sizzle. Mm-hmm. And it moved sideways for a while. And then it took, in this case, Chevron took a hit in July of 2002. I couldn't actually remember why. I'm thinking that may have just been dragged lower because the rest of the market was doing terrible at the time. But then you had a steady trend from April of 2003 until April of 2008. You had 5 years where the stock went from $30 to $100, which is a fantastic return.
Wow.
In that period of time.
Yeah.
Then the financial crisis hit.
Boom.
It dropped from 100 to 60. So it lost 40%. You had another rally coming out of that where it went from 60 to 130. And then there's another dip during the now this is right when oil was coming down. This was before Trump was elected. This is while Obama was president. This was in 2014. And it got all the way down to $70. And that was in August of 15, and then it rallied again, and it just moved sideways with Trump. Then it took a huge hit when COVID hit, and it dropped below $60, and then it rallied up here recently. When I say recently, I mean 2022, end of 22, early 23, it got up to $180. So $120 profit in a very short period of time. So here's what I've noticed about oil. All the stocks look the same. Whenever you're trading a stock that's commodity related, it's going to follow whatever the commodity prices are. If oil is strong, then you're going to see oil companies doing better because the prices are higher, their profit margins increase, the left freaks out and wants a special tax on oil companies. But just looking at this short history, and this is not a long history, it's a short history from 85 till now, okay, 40 years, it seems like a lot, it's not. Oil stocks are the kinds of stocks that you typically buy after they get shellacked. Just when they get shellacked, whatever the thing was that caused them, unless literally there's a law that passes worldwide saying no more oil, you would step in when it gets shellacked, wait for it to bounce and sort of find support, and then you would step into an oil company. That, I mean, going back to those 40 years, that is certainly a strategy that would have worked the entire time. And since it's a commodity-based stock, I don't see any reason for that changing. Gold is the same way. Silver is the same way. I think uranium, that's another one that we didn't even get to this, but we talked about, you know, Bill Gates going to Wyoming and playing some Texas Hold'em with the locals up there as he's producing his nuclear power plant.
Yeah, and at the same time, he also bought Joey Chestnut, or whatever his name was, the hot dog eating guy. You know, he bought him,
yeah,
right, with his vegan hot dog company.
Yeah. So everybody's got a price. I heard somebody comment that Chestnut was getting to the end of his hot dog eating, right? He was like, it's too much pain. And it's like all athletes, you know, eventually the knee just never gets better.
Listen, I always love the idea of putting my food future in the hands of Bill Gates, because he's such a humanitarian. There's nothing about him that has ever been, you know, hinky at all.
I emailed you that quote just so you could see it. I mean, these people who live up there, look, nothing against these guys who live up there, that live in the area, because I believe the town where he's building this nuclear power plant has about 2,400 people in it. But he sits down and plays poker And they all think he's the best guy. And, oh, he's just a regular guy, that someone like that would even come and sit with us and play poker or whatever else. I mean, he's playing poker. He doesn't care how much money he loses at the poker table.
Of course they love him.
Dollar signs for eyeballs.
Of course they love him. Of course they love him for that reason. Okay. All right. Hey, before we take off here, so you still haven't told me. So I hang on to oil. It sounds like I hang on to oil anyway, even with Trump. Or is it going to get shellacked, you think? We're just talking.
I don't know that it will get shellacked, but he will try to increase oil production. He'll try to issue more leases and all these things. What's going to be interesting to me? So the answer is a vague. I would definitely be, you know, putting in a sell stop or something else to try to take advantage of it. Because if production increases, prices go down.
Yeah.
And look, OPEC knows, right? OPEC Plus, they reduce production to keep prices high, which is what they've been doing off and on. And if U.S.-based oil companies decide, and now that they're merging, if they decide they're not going to increase production or buy these new oil leases and all these other things, then prices will stay high. So to
okay.
me, I almost think Chevron, Exxon, all these big companies have figured out what OPEC Plus knows, and that is maybe it's not in our best interest to increase oil production. I do think they'd like to get it to a point where when you drive up to your local gas station, I don't mean the expensive ones, but just like the station you go to, that people are going to be paying somewhere in the high twos. I don't think we ever see a dollar something again unless there's a financial crisis.
Yeah.
I think oil now from this, or gasoline from this point forward, is never getting below $2 again.
All right, Matt, I appreciate that. And by the way, we are not giving investment advice. There's a couple of guys just yakking, okay? And
yep.
So just go talk to your financial advisors. We're just expressing opinions about things that we're observing, okay? You're not a stockbroker, by the way. We just want to be clear, but you understand.
Nope.
A lot of what has been going on.
It's Conspiracy Theory Thursday, Bill.
I know. And that's why you're here. The one thing I would add, though, is that next time I have you on here, I want to talk about artificial intelligence, because I could swear that this is either the new pet rock of the 1970s or the pets.com of today, in which all you have to – you do everything you can to put AI into your statements. Is that fair? What's going on?
In your earnings release. You
yeah.
want it in your earnings release. You can say – because I mentioned Hewlett-Packard Enterprises the other day just broke above long-term resistance at like $18.
Yeah.
Because they came out and said their printers and other technologies that they have some AI in it, and that's boosting. And I have to throw this out. This is just for your listeners. Walt Disney, who was a genius, he is the father of the 15-minute city. Do people research Epcot Center? That's all I'll say.
All right. Hey, Matt, I always appreciate the talk. Thanks for that. And just
like
I said, it's Matt and Bill talking markets and just observing things, okay?
Enjoy your time off.
I certainly will. And I will return on Wednesday of next week. Wheels up Wednesday. Have a wonderful weekend. This is the Bill Myers Show. The reports keep coming about Sky Park Insurance saving listeners money. Here's Dan in Medford.
I've been hearing Bill talk about Sky Park on the radio, and now I wished I'd called Steve earlier. He cut my insurance in half on my truck and saved me $600 a year. About blew my boots off.
Sky Park Insurance is an independent insurance company that shops for the best rates among several name brand companies. Call Steve at 261-5444.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
If you have an Alexa device, you can listen to great news and talk anytime by first asking Alexa to enable KMED. After enabling the skill, you can listen to the most popular talk personalities like Bill Meyer and Lars Larson, plus local news and weather 24 hours a day by just asking Alexa to play KMED. Alexa streaming on KMED is made possible by Megan McPherson at Farmers Insurance. Father and Son Jewelry, Hardcastle's Trailers, and Pacific Healthcare Training.
The Rogue Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op. And remember, use the right tool for the job.
The Dirt Devil has a little plastic spout that folds down, and it'll go right into blossoms and get the bugs without damaging the blossoms.
I know they're not so high-powered, because every time I try to use one on my truck's upholstery, it never gets any dirt out. But I bet it would get a bug.
It gets bugs. It's a real handy tool.
Catch the Rogue Gardener live Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning Encore at 9 on KMED.
Looking for reliable roofing experts? Turn to the family-owned gem of our community, Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., your go-to for metal